see. Well, who made it to the flower show yesterday? Anybody? Yes? Oh, quite a few. Yes, overwhelming majority, in fact, probably. And who had a look around the marquee? Yes? Now, what did you think was the most impressive thing at the flower show? The leeks. There were some enormous leeks, weren't there? Was that the grower of the leeks who shouted that out? Okay, yes. What? The cucumbers. Five guinea cucumbers, I noticed, Nick. Yes, very good. The hydrangeas. Okay, is everybody going to shout out what they contributed now? What else? The dog. Oh, yes, Mark Austin's creation. Others are available online. Yes, that was very good, wasn't it? The woodwork, yes. I didn't see the dog show, but that was probably very impressive, wasn't it? Particularly for those of us who own disobedient dogs. I didn't see the poultry outside, and what other things? The cakes at the tea stall. Okay, it's hard to walk round the marquee and think, you know, would they miss one of those tiny tea scones? Yes, Abigail. The caravans, yes, all beautifully painted and set up. Yes, Johnny. The tanks, yes. There are all sorts of things, weren't there? Things of creation, things that have been grown, flowers and vegetables, and then things that involve people doing things and sort of reshaping creation, if you like the cakes and the preserves and all those things. So we're going to have a reading now which speaks about God's wonderful creation and also about God's plan that human beings should rule over the creation and make it even better. So we'll have our first reading, please, from Psalm 8.
Psalm 8, which tells of praise for man's glory and status in God's sight. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it is a wonderful, wonderful creation, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever looked up at the sky at night and thought, wow, that is really amazing. One of the blessings of living in the countryside, isn't it? That you see the stars much, much better than you would in a city. Perhaps you've looked up at the stars and thought, wow, that's amazing. The creation is great. There must be a great, great creator. You might think about that more at our astronomy evening. And the Bible says that God's plan was that human beings should rule over the world under God, crowned with glory and honour to rule over the world for the good of the world. But we know that that's not the perfect world that we see around us today. The world has gone wrong. Creation is out of joint. And the Bible tells us that's because men and women have rebelled against God. They don't want God to be in charge of them. And our second reading picks up on that situation of creation out of joint. We're going to think a bit more about that now. Let's have our second reading, please.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. Future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, it just so happens that in church we've been working through the letter to the Romans, and today we've got to chapter 8, which is an appropriate chapter today because it talks about creation, which the flower show has reminded us of. Now, you should have one of these little handouts. I hope you might take that home with you and perhaps think about this passage a bit more using that. Now, who here has ever been to a canto? Yeah? Some people haven't. No? Or perhaps too lazy to raise their hand, can't be bothered to join in. Well, today it's going to be a bit like a canto. I hope you won't heckle. There's not going to be anybody behind me. But I do need you to join in, okay? It'll be very dull if you don't. So, first of all, I'd like to get a really good cheer. Oh, that was extremely good. Well done. Now, who can think about some of the things that there are to cheer about in the world? Things that we could thank God for? Yes. Someone winning? Yes, absolutely. Yes. So if Wales had won the World Cup, there might have been the most enormous. Hey! Yes. What else is there to cheer about? What can we thank God for? Holidays, yes, absolutely. Family. Yes, friends as well. Daddy. Yes. What else? There are millions of things, aren't there? Sunshine, food, fun, trees. Yes. Shades, yes. Flowers, absolutely. Lots and lots of things. What about the blessings of the Christian life? Can anyone think of any examples? It's a good one, yeah. What? Love, yeah. Fellowship in the church, yeah. Church family, yeah. Eternal life. Eternal life. I couldn't get much better than that, could you? Eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. Friendship with God. There's so much to cheer about, isn't there? So let's just do one great big cheer. Okay, marvellous. Your cheering is surprisingly impressive. I was expecting it to be rather pathetic cheering. Now, I don't know if you leap out of bed in the morning and you think, isn't life marvellous? I got all these wonderful blessings. I wonder if sometimes you might wake up, perhaps at 5:30 in the morning or something, a small child comes and wakes you up with some sort of request, and maybe you lie there and think, that was clever. You didn't say groan, you erred. I didn't know quite how to spell a groan. It's not sort of disgust, it's more weariness. So, oh, yeah, oh! So, there's lots to cheer about in life, isn't it? But there's also lots to groan about, really. And this passage, which you read, is all about groaning. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the future glory that will be revealed in us. So, in an ordinary Christian life, there are present sufferings. Now, some of us probably have quite relatively nice, easy, happy lives, but all of us in our lives will suffer at some time. Some of us perhaps will suffer terribly. We might lose a loved one, or we might have a terrible illness. Sometimes people suffer very, very seriously. And the Bible doesn't want to play down that suffering. It is very honest about it. But it does say our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And that's not because our present sufferings are not serious. It's because the future glory is going to be even more wonderful. Our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. But in the meantime, we have to live in this world, which is full of some things to care about, but also some things to... And Paul tells us how to, in a godly way, how to groan well. First of all, he says that creation groans. This is a striking thought. The creation itself waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. You know, it suggests the whole of creation is on its tiptoes and holding its breath, waiting for the future that God has in store for his people. You know, Christians, you can't spot them in the street, can you? People don't go around sort of glowing if they're children of God, if they're Christian believers, if they're trusted in Jesus. Paul says, no, we're waiting for the sons of God to be fully revealed. And the whole of creation is waiting for that too, because the destiny of creation is bound up with the destiny of human beings. We were meant to rule creation, and when we rebelled against God, we plunged creation into ruin. And so creation groans. See, as you get fed up of this talk and bored of groaning, your groans will just get even better, won't they? It's wonderful. So the whole of creation groans. But not only so, verse 23, we ourselves groan. The Christian groans. That might be a surprise that part of an ordinary, real Christian life filled with the Spirit of God is groaning, because at the moment we suffer, we look forward to glory. The best is yet to come for the Christian believer. We eagerly await our adoption as sons. Yes, we are children of God, but we haven't fully moved into heaven yet, arrived in the family home, but the inheritance is not yet ours completely to enjoy. And we await the redemption of our bodies. Now, I know that is hard to believe as you sit there today and look at the rector, but human bodies can be more wonderful even than this. This is not yet the full height of human perfection. The best is yet to come. There's going to be Mark Lloyd's version 2, which will somehow be even better and more glorious than this. We await the redemption of our bodies. One day, no more aches and pains, no more suffering, no more sin. But in the meantime, we grow in hope, because this world is not our ultimate home. We're looking forward to something better. We hope for what we don't yet have. And then, thirdly and finally, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Creation groans, we groan, but also the Spirit groans. And the Spirit is really good at groaning. He searches our hearts and knows us, and he also knows the mind of God. So he groans perfectly in a way that understands what we want and what God wants, and helps us to communicate with God in groans that words cannot express. Creation groans, the Christian groans, the Holy Spirit groans. So what is the real Christian life today like? Yes, it's full of lots of things to rejoice in, but it also does include, because we groan in hope, looking forward to a much better future. So three quick conclusions. How to groan in a godly way as we wait for glory. First of all, don't worry if you wake up sometimes and think, oh, that is pretty normal. It is part of the course for real Christians to suffer. Suffering is normal. And in fact, God uses suffering in our lives to make us more like the Lord Jesus. Secondly, don't settle or despair. This is not all there is, and there will be a great future. We groan in a confident hope. We wait eagerly and patiently, because the best is yet to come. And thirdly and finally, we don't groan alone. We groan with the whole of creation, and we groan with the church, with our fellow Christians. And above all, we groan with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your wonderful plans for us and for this world that you have made. We thank you for this hope of the renewal of creation which we've been thinking about. To help us as we have to live with suffering, sometimes really painful, difficult, ongoing suffering. Renew our hope, we pray, in this great future glory, that we might both rejoice and groan. May we know the help of your church and of your spirit, that we might live for you today and always in the light of the future. For Jesus' sake, amen.